Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Mickey Blog Podcast. I am your host, Jared, alongside Alyssa Antonelli once again. We are here with another edition of our fun-filled Disney podcast, the most magical podcast you can find out there. We talk all things Disney here on the Mickey Blog Podcast, and today we are continuing along with our Disney Cruise series. So if you thought this podcast was just going to be about Disney movies or just about Disney parks, well, you're mistaken. We cover it all here, and there's new episodes every single Friday. And right now, we're in the midst of a full Disney Cruise Line series. It's been great, where each episode we detail one of the different cruise ships, which is exciting because we got a new one, the Disney Treasure, coming out later this year, and we have a new destination coming out this summer. So it's a very exciting time to be a Disney Cruise Line fan. And frankly, and Alyssa, I think you're going to agree with me on this. I don't think they're slowing down. I think there's going to be more and more and more exciting things to come over the next decade plus.
So, too, first of all, thank you for having me again, your trusty co-pilot. Or I should say, your, what am I, your co-captain? Sorry, you know, like we're starting off early.
I should have started this episode by saying ahoy, ahoy, ahoy.
Exactly. You missed it. Should we start over? Like rewind.
Yeah, let's just rewind.
But I'm your co-captain on this one. Yeah. I mean, we said this, Jared, this is our fourth
Disney Cruise Line episode.
In the Disney Cruise Line series, and we've said it each time. People love cruising.
Yeah.
They love Disney cruises. And what I love about this series that you and I are doing is it's giving an option to see what these different Disney ships offer. Different itineraries, different sizes, different sailings, different offerings. And I think that's what Disney's all about. Disney's not one size fits all.
Yeah. I mean, look, I have, had the joy of being able to go with different groups to the parks, for example. And it's always funny to see different families and different group styles, you know, and how some people will tackle Magic Kingdom the way that my mom and my family always did, like 7 a.m., you're putting on sunscreen and you're rubbing your feet, making sure you're ready to go. Like, it's a serious deal. You're there till close. And then when I got older and I went with like my wife's family, it's like, yeah, we're going to pop in Epcot around 2 p.m, you know, whatever, just take it slow.
You're like, what is going on here?
I'm like, we're missing so much. What about the Fast Pass? But no, it's
at 2 p.m. your family is basically done 3/4 of the park. And they're just like, hey, we're here.
Two of the kids are passed out. One of them has had a heat stroke. It's crazy. But no, it's just funny. But that just kind of goes to show you it's the same thing with Disney Cruise Line, where you can really tackle each cruise however you see fit. And there's something for everybody on the Disney Cruise Line ships, which I really love. And as Alyssa was alluding to, and the whole point of this series is each ship is actually different as well, which is really, really amazing because it makes you want to see them all. They're smart that way, right? They're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, because if they make the ships too similar, you're going to be like, well, I've done that one, then I don't need to go on those ships. But if you change it up, ooh, there's new restaurants, new lounges, new theming, new pool areas, new aqueducts, whatever it is, it just makes you want to go and check it out. So today we are traveling way back in time to the very first of the Disney Cruise Line fleet, and that's the Disney Magic. Alyssa has not sailed on this ship, but I have. I went last year, so I do have quite a bit of fresh knowledge, at least, on it. Its maiden voyage actually took place in 1998. So the world was basically introduced to Disney Cruise Line in 98, and it was meant to be a completely different kind of cruising once Disney Magic was released. A lot of cruise lines, and this is not hate, by the way, were focused on things like putting attractions and roller coasters and bumper cars and casinos and things like that on their cruise ships. And how many crazy things can we put on a boat?
It's like Las Vegas on a boat.
Exactly. And still to this day, you can go on many cruises where you can go to the casino and do things like that. However, Disney Cruise Line wanted to basically start a new generation of cruises that are more family oriented, that don't have casinos, that have more things for the entire family to enjoy. And it was kind of, in a way, Alyssa, just wanted to briefly touch upon this. We talked about this in the last episode, how, like, you know, the dream and the fantasy wouldn't have existed had they not taken the risk and jumped forward with the magic and the wonder. But it was a huge risk, you know, when you think back on it, to even launch this brand of cruising. Like, I understood even in 1998, the Disney brand was still enormous and the name was enormous. But it was a huge risk to try to compete with these other cruise lines when you're not offering these things that the other cruise lines were, and trying to take it in a more family-oriented way, because at the time, they just weren't doing that, you know?
Well, and that's a good point. And I think Disney Cruise Line has definitely stayed true to Disney, you know, which I love. You know, I agree. There's all these cruise ships that have, like you said, these casinos, and people love casinos. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's why Las Vegas is Las Vegas, you know. So I'm not like you said, Jared, like, no one's knocking these other cruise lines for having all the bling and the wow factors. But that wouldn't make sense for Disney Cruise Line. I mean, I would tend to think if there was a casino, it just wouldn't make sense. Would there be people in it? Sure there would. But it just doesn't, you know, Disney Cruise Line kept true to Disney. And I appreciate that as someone who loves Disney as much as I do, and I'm sure you do as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I was blown away by, and this was my wife's first cruise going on the Disney Magic. It was my second cruise, first time as an adult, first time going as a couple. And one of the things I was kind of blown away by is, like, you're getting everything, all the great that Disney offers, the service, the, you know, making you feel at home, making you feel like family, all that sort of stuff. But it's also kind of, it's not as, like, in your face, you know, which is also, you know, maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing, however you feel about it. It's not like going to the parks where it's obviously just constant characters, everything you're seeing, but there is still so much, like, of the Disney magic available to you, which really took me by surprise. I mean, you know, I know one of our team members who were just on the Disney Fantasy, she was talking highly about, you know, characters just roaming and, like, just bumping into characters and how cool that is. Cause that's not something you see even in Walt Disney World. There's always character handlers. And like I said, on a previous episode, my wife was, like, astounded walking down the steps on the Disney Magic and just, like, bumping into Belle, like, physically their shoulders bumped into each other. And Belle was like, "Oh, sorry." And they took photos and everything. It's so cool. It really is amazing how Disney has brought that level of magic to it. No pun intended. There's a lot of magic on the magic, Alyssa. Okay, yes. let's continue on.
We've been 10 minutes in, and we've already had two good puns. I mean, you know, maybe we should have an episode on our puns.
Yeah, and don't worry, we got plenty more puns on deck for you guys. So
they're not all about Rapunzel.
And they're not. They're not all about.
That was actually just awful. Like, it's okay. The worst. But whatever, I'll own that.
All right, so
this is the part, Jared, where people start to shut the pod down.
It's true. Yeah, someone out there.
Stay with us. There's good stuff ahead.
Bear with us. We promise it gets better.
It gets better. Just buckle up. Make sure the yellow strap is tight. And we have a good ride for you.
So talking, we'll start with some, with the rooms and everything like that. A lot of this ship actually was renovated. It was fully renovated closer back towards 2013, but in 2023, for example, it added a new lounge, which we'll talk about later. And, you know, that's what's so great about Disney Cruise Line and a lot of these ships is they don't just sit there and that's it forever, you know, because I know some people, and I'm not going to bring up the parks too much, have their opinions on certain attractions and lands that just sit there for 40, 50 years. And people are like, "Oh, that they need to update this." And then of course they update it and everyone's mad about it. But regardless, that's another episode and another topic. So we'll talk about
the great movie ride circling around my head.
Oh yeah. you know,
we can't go
you
there.
Just, you just had to say that the words.
I know. Anyway, keep going, Jared.
So yeah, like I think, you know, in general, when it comes to these ships, when it comes to the rooms, they do an excellent job with theming. But either way, as I stated in the last episode, I am really obsessed with Ocean View verandas. I don't think I could ever do another cruise without an Ocean View veranda. But yeah. I do understand that, you know, that it's not in everybody's price range. So if you're not going to do that, no worries. They do have, you know, the regular portholes on these ships and everything like that. All the ships come with, or all the rooms come with, you know, your ordinary like room service and a TV and everything like that. But one important piece of information that I wanted to note sort of towards the beginning of this show, not ship, I almost said beginning of the ship, Alyssa, that this is a smaller Disney cruise ship. So sort of something to note. So for example, the Disney Dream and the Disney Fantasy can fit, it has a total of, it can fit up to 4,000 passengers, and the Wish can as well. However, the Magic and the Wonder can fit up to 2,700 passengers. So that's about a 1,300 person difference, which is a pretty big amount when it comes to how many people you're bumping into, passengers, things of that nature. It's the same throughout when it comes to everything else about the ship in terms of its size. We're talking about staterooms. The Magic has 875, where the Dream has 1,250. So it's a smaller ship. However, there are pros and cons to that. A lot of people actually enjoy cruising on the Magic and the Wonder for its size because it is much easier to walk around, for example. And, you know, people like to call it a factor in a commute time for dinner or shows or things of that nature. But, you know, this smaller ship is also able to visit ports that are inaccessible to larger ships. I was reading up on this a little bit, Alyssa, and it was actually interesting how the Disney Magic is able to go into certain parts in Venice, Italy, that other cruise ships aren't able to because of its size. I found that kind of fascinating just because, you know, when you think about it, it's, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, cruise ships, it's got to be all pretty much the same size. But so from your experience, I guess, when it comes to booking, you know, Disney trips and Disney Cruise Line with Mickey Travels, like how often have you heard of clients who, you know, what are their thoughts on the Disney Magic and the Disney Wonder? And have you heard of what I was just referencing about people sort of enjoying the smaller size and how there's pros and cons?
Yeah, so I do agree. You know, I think sometimes people think like bigger's better, but not necessarily. You know, I know there's some other cruise lines, I'm not going to mention them, who want to boast about being the biggest ship, you know, on the seas and all that. And that's great. And, you know, there's nothing wrong about that. But there are a lot of people who just like a little bit more intimacy. They don't want to be, they like that there's 1,300 less passengers on the ship while they're there. It may, you know, it just makes for a little bit more, less hustle bustle, less people trying to all go for the same food at the buffets and things like that. I mean, you know, I can tell you that I've been on cruise ships where there are so many people that the tables in the dining areas are just on top of each other because they're just trying to fill it versus, you know, a little bit more of a, you know, enjoyable experience with a little bit more like dining where you're not on top of everybody. I do still, and I stick by this. I know I said this in the last few episodes. I do think people choose their Disney ships based on a few criteria. Certainly, I do think the size could matter. But I think also the sail dates, obviously, the itineraries, how long the cruise is going to be, where they're going to go. And that kind of, and I'm sorry, Jared, if I'm a little early in bringing this up. I know you're going to mention it later. But like right now with the Magic going to Lighthouse Point, you know, that's the only ship that's going to Lighthouse Point right now when it starts in June. So that would be a deciding factor for people who want to go see the new Disney island. They're going to go on the Magic.
And if they don't want to go on the Magic, well, too bad, because that's the ship going to Lighthouse Point. So
that's right. Like, you know, there isn't a, well, I really want to take the Fantasy to Lighthouse Point. Now, that might be in the future, right? I mean, I'm assuming being their own private island, there will be a lot of repositioning. And there will be, the Magic's not going to be the only ship that goes. But at the same time, like you said, for now, if that's where you want to go this summer, you're going to go on the Magic.
Yeah, and for me, I actually really like that. I like that they have different cruises who go to different ports. I like that they have different ships that have different restaurants. I've talked about this on basically every episode of the Cruise Line series, but it just adds a little bit to the magic in terms of, like, you know, making you want to come back and want to try the other ships and try everything like that. And I promise, if anybody out there is listening or watching and is like, oh no, I want to go to Lighthouse Point, but I'm not sure about the magic. I promise you, this ship is gorgeous, and it really is a wonderful, wonderful time. It's smaller, but it does have that intimacy that I really, really enjoyed. And there's certain parts about it that, you know, I couldn't get over. I remember so many times we'd be like walking down the hallways, we're in the Grand Hall, and I'm like, where is everybody? I felt like I had a whole cruise ship to myself sometimes. And it was also nice because we made friends on our cruise. Several friends, and we would run into them constantly because there's only so many people on the ship. So you'd run into them, okay, yeah, let's grab lunch or whatever. It was really nice in that aspect. But I wanted to sort of touch a little bit more on Lighthouse Point, because we're going to dedicate a whole episode to that in the future, and we're going to be talking much more about it. Just, you know, based off of the fact that Lighthouse Point is going to be a major story this year. But, you know, can you talk a little bit more about why Disney fans are going to be wanting to pay attention, why they're going to want to, you know, be following the story of Lighthouse Point? Because I think a lot of Disney fans out there, Alyssa, not you and I, not the ones who are in it, you know, every day, but the average Disney fans might not even know all that much. Like, they might have heard, oh yeah, there's an island coming, but no, I mean, it's a pretty big deal, and it's a huge deal for Disney Cruise Line, because now it's their, you know, their second destination down there.
It's huge. And, you know, Disney Cruise Line's not the only cruise line that has their own private islands.
Yeah.
So, and to be honest with you, I've said this many times, we love Castaway Cay. Who doesn't, right? I'm sure a lot of people are raising their hands saying, we love Castaway Cay. I anticipate Lighthouse Point being different than Castaway. I know they're both Bahamian islands and whatnot, but I do expect there to be some differences. I think they're going to kick it up a notch from what Castaway is. I'm very curious. I've heard Eleuthera is a gorgeous part of the Bahamas. It's a beautiful set of islands in the Bahamas. So I'm excited to see what the natural beauty of the island is, and then what Disney does with it. And I think Disney, again, this is just a guess, has taken a little page out of some other cruise lines' books of their private islands, and maybe realizing that, well, Castaway is beautiful and will always be a very special place for everybody, I think they're going to be offering a lot more than they do at Castaway. And so I'm excited. And I think that anybody who's a Disney fan is going to be extremely excited about this new island previewing in June and what it's going to offer. And there are going to be cruises. I believe, don't quote me, I think on the Fantasy or the Dream, that are going to offer a stop at both Castaway and Lighthouse Point come the fall and winter next year.
Yeah, which is really amazing. I mean,
that's going to be huge. Like, that's going to be like, what people are wanting more than anything is the two stops. Because there's certain cruises, Jared, that I don't know if you know this or not, they're very rare. It's what we call a double dip at Castaway, where you can actually go to Castaway twice on the same cruise. And it's rare. And when you get a double dip at Castaway, and I've done it on the Dream, we did a double dip at Castaway, and people flip out over it, which I sort of understand. But I also am like, you went there. I don't know. I don't need 2 days at Castaway back to back, but whatever. I know there's going to be people that think I'm crazy that I said that, but But to be able to have a double dip of both islands, it's going to be very, very popular.
No, I totally agree. I for one, hope that this island is very different, you know, and in a good way. You know, I'd like to see different experiences, different things offered there, so that you are equally excited to try this one compared to this. Because that's the whole point of making several stops, right? You know, it, as great as Castaway is, if you did 5 nights straight at Castaway, by night 5, you might be like, okay, I want to go see something else. You know, like, that's the beauty of vacations, is making these different stops and being able to see different things. It's the same reason why I love, you know, Walt Disney World, because as an AP holder, I never get bored, because I can feel like, oh, well, I did Animal Kingdom with my wife last weekend. Let's do Epcot this weekend. I haven't done Studios in a while. It's constantly fresh. And that's what would be great if this island is as different and as exciting as we all hope. So this isn't a Lighthouse Point episode, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I did want to mention it because it's a huge deal. And as Alyssa said, it directly correlates with Disney Magic. So
at least in the very beginning with their, you know, their preview cruises.
It was worth dropping an anchor for 5 minutes and just chatting about it.
Jared, come on. We had to drop the anchor at Lighthouse, but now we're going to pull it up and we're going to set sail.
Yeah, we're setting sail towards the dining rooms here, because next up we're going to be talking about dining on the Disney Magic, because I know...
That's on the hook at the dining restaurants, yeah, on Magic.
Jeez. I swear, if people are still listening or watching by now,
they probably aren't, Jared.
They probably aren't.
It's just you and me at this point.
We're just screaming into the void. If there's anybody out there at all, probably my mom, only my mom, maybe only my mom. Even my mom's left by now. If anybody is there, we're going to chill on the puns, I swear. Anyways, we're going to talk about rotational dining and the restaurants that are offered on the Disney Magic, because as I've said in the past, you know, one of the things that is really unique and wonderful about the Disney, cruise line ships is that they do offer rotational dining. And rotational dining, essentially what it means is it does offer you a chance to see all the restaurants. So if you're on a 4-night cruise and there's 3 restaurants, which there are, 3 main restaurants on the Disney Magic, you get to see all 3, and then you get to see a 4th one on the 4th night. But I wouldn't do it that way. I would see all 3 and then book Paolo for the other night, but we'll talk about that again later. Either way, we're going to talk here about the offerings, because the Disney Magic offers 3 main restaurants outside of Paolo, which Paolo is on the Disney Magic, by the way. First up, we got Animator's Palette. Animator's Palette is very popular. It's offered in multiple different ships on the Disney Cruise Line. It's very, very adorable. You get to walk in. You get to basically see animation come to life all over you. Super colorful. You know, the walls come to life. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous time. And then another restaurant that is offered here on the Disney Magic is Lumiere's. Lumiere's is more a French cuisine, but you are basically put into the world of Beauty and the Beast, of course. Very, very cute restaurant. And then another restaurant that is offered on the Magic that is more unique to the Disney Magic is Rapunzel's Royal Table. The reason this is worth mentioning is Rapunzel's Royal Table is not on any of the other cruise lines. So that's really spectacular, because if you're a Tangled fan, you're only going to be able to experience this restaurant here. So it's very, very adorable. They have a full show while you're eating there. You know, you get to see the lanterns. It's very pretty. And I remember being there and just seeing like all the girls who are like massive Tangled fans. You could tell like their moms had booked this cruise because they're Tangled fans, just freaking out. You know, and I definitely wasn't also freaking out. We're talking about the kids here. The point is, the kids were super excited about Tangled. And either way, all 3 restaurants, in my opinion, were fantastic. I especially love the food at Animator's Palette. And I love the presentation and the experience of Rapunzel's, but yeah, wanted to mention all 3 of those, Alyssa. I know you've always spoken so highly about rotational dining.
said with the other rotational, the other episodes, rotational dining is something that's very unique to Disney Cruise Line and something that is just very, very special because, as we said, your wait staff follows you from restaurant to restaurant. So they really do get to know you. They get to know what your personality. You almost become, and I know, Jared, you had said that, you know, you guys really got close to your waiter. And I think it was waiter, not waitress. I think it was a waiter. And I feel as though, you know, by the end of the cruise, especially if it's a bit of a longer cruise, you really kind of feel sad to say goodbye to them. You know, people yeah. take pictures and you really do feel like they really care about your family and they become part of your cruise line experience.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I mean, you know, I think that's what really makes Disney Cruise Line stand out. I've said this in past episodes, but I was personally amazed and astounded at how, like, the service, it's almost better than the Disney parks or going to Walt Disney World or Disneyland. And I know that kind of sounds crazy because a lot of people love cast members and love all the service. I mean, everywhere you walk on Walt Disney World property, you got somebody, you know, spreading all this joy and magic and making you feel welcomed. But Disney Cruise Line almost brings it up to another level. I think that's mostly to do with, you know, the sheer less amount of people and that you do get to see them more than once. Because think about it, how many cast members do you just see? And that's it. You'll probably never see them again because there's you know, 30,000 people in Magic Kingdom on a daily basis.
It's just more intimate. Exactly. And that's not a knock against parks, obviously, but it's just an intimate thing where they really get to know you. As a matter of fact, I have a funny quick story if I can before we go to break. Yeah. And this is not on the magic, but I think it's relatable to what we're talking about. We were on the Wish about a month ago. And first night, we ate at 1923. And barely got, you know, we met our waiter that night, right? Like, he met us for a couple of hours. That was kind of it. And he was awesome. But, you know, like, how well does he know us, right? But anyway, as you probably know, when you go into any of the restaurants, there's a lot of cast that asks you what your table number is, and they take you there to your table. So I honestly don't remember the number of the table, but whatever it was, we had this guy, we walked in first night, you know, like whatever. And he's like, what table? So we're like, table 22, seats us there. And then he goes away. That's it. Like, he sat us there. That is all he did. Right. And I didn't see him the rest of the night, obviously, or anything like that. The next morning, I'm at breakfast at Marceline Market, and I'm walking, just kind of looking to see what I want, whatever, whatever, my tray in my hand. And I get to this one station where I think they had fruit. And I was like, oh, I didn't recognize the guy. I was just like, oh, can I have da da da? And he's like, table 22, right? And he literally freaked me out. And he's like, I said, what are you? And he goes, and I said, oh my gosh, did you see this last night? He said, yeah, I sure did. He goes, how was your meal? And he goes, I remembered it was table 22. I just find that kind of amazing.
No,
he
I mean,
he wasn't even our waiter. He just sat us at the table that night. And with all the people at the market, by the way, I had a baseball cap on the next morning. With my hair in like a bun in the back. Like, I didn't even look like I did the night before. And he literally was like, table 22? I just find that amazing, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. It speaks to the service, but it also speaks to the, you know, the attention, the care.
Well, I'm also very memorable. So that also, it also speaks to the fact that you would naturally remember
more. Yeah, it speaks more about how
it speaks more about me, but I wanted to share the story anyway.
You
know,
how you steal the show when you walk into a room. I get what you're saying.
But I wanted to share the story anyway. Anyway, whatever. Moving on.
Well, let's shift gears and talk about me now. When I was on my cruise, I'm just kidding. No, we're gonna go to break, and then we're gonna come back because there's a lot more to talk about when it comes to the Disney magic. But before we go to the rest of the show, I want to mention that this episode of the Mickey Blog Podcast is brought to you and sponsored by Mickey Travels. Mickey Travels is a nationally recognized leader in Disney vacation planning. They are diamond earmarked by Disney, and their services are always 100% free. So reach out to Mickey Travels today for a free quote on your Disney vacation at MickeyTravels.com. That's MickeyTravels.com, making magic one vacation at a time. And as we mentioned in the last episode, Mickey Travels is not just, you know, your place to go if you're trying to plan your Walt Disney World vacation. Mickey Travels can plan your Disneyland trip, your trip to Aulani, your Adventures by Disney trip, your Disney Cruise Line trip. There's a lot of things, anything really Disney related. You can go Mickey Travels direction, and their services are always 100% free to you. It's not anything extra to book your cruise through a Mickey Travels agent, where they can help you plan it and plan accordingly, help you pick everything out. It's a no-brainer, really. Take the stress off your lap and head over to Mickey Travels. So I want to chat about, you know, a few other things when it comes to dining, and then we're going to shift gears to, we spent a lot of time talking about the kids clubs in the Disney Dream episode. So definitely go over to the Disney Dream if you want to learn more about the kids clubs, because we focused a lot on there. But we're going to talk about the kids clubs. We're going to talk about the pools and the slides and how Jared almost passed away on one of those slides, and probably will not be going on the Aqua Dunk ever again. But it's okay. There was lessons that were learned, and we're gonna learn them, and we're gonna skip out on that water slide. But the point is that There's quite a few offerings that are on the Disney Magic. Before we do that, though, I want to finish off on the dining, because those were the three main restaurants you can enjoy. But that's not all that is offered for dining. When it comes to more casual dining, there's a lot of offerings. Of course, we did mention Palo. Palo is amazing. It is a adult-only meal that you do pay an extra fee for. However, it is 1,000% worth it. It's an upcharge, but the space is still in extremely high demand. Book as early as you're literally on board, booking window allows. Like, as soon as you can book Palo, because it's worth it. And I promise you won't regret it. I've had, you know, one of the best meals ever.
For both dinner and brunch.
It really does. And that's another thing. They do offer brunch as well. So if you're like, you know what, I'm a huge brunch fan, because I know a lot of people, they're obsessed with brunch, then enjoy that. Book a way better brunch than you're going to get anywhere else on the ship.
Can I say something, by the way, Jared? Just a little piece of information that I know you know, yeah, but our listeners might not know, because this is almost brand, when I say brand new, you could probably better tell me. I want to say 2-3 weeks old of news, and I know Mickey Blog wrote about it. The dress policy for Palo brunch did change. It did lessen, got a little more flexible. Dinner is still long pants. They do, you know, they do request, you know, I would say at least a button down shirt. You know, you don't have to wear a suit, not to wear a tuxedo. Definitely pants are required. I mean, Jared, you know, I'm sure that's what you wore when you went there. But brunch has always been the same. And they just went a little flexible with that, or they just lessened it. And men can now wear shorts.
Bathing suits. No. Okay.
Not bathing suits. But like short, nice shorts. I mean, this isn't okay. Like, you know, you don't want to wear like your tattered denim, you know, with holes, whatever. But you now can wear nice shorts with like a golf shirt. And that was not allowed up until, I mean, Jared, I don't know. 2-3 weeks, not even. I mean, it's very, yeah, very new.
It is. It's very recent. And I think that's a great change, because I'm not going to lie to you.
I agree.
When I wake up, even when I go to very nice restaurants for brunch, I don't think, let me put on my finest outfit.
Yeah.
But when I'm going out to a nice dinner, I do like to dress up, you know, and things of that nature. So look, Palo is also booked up heavily because of special occasions, and it is a very fine dining restaurant. So it's worthwhile, you know, in terms of that dress code. And, yeah, and you know, honestly, if you want to hear more about Palo, just literally, we have spoken so highly about it in every single Disney Cruise Line episode we've ever done. So I just can't say enough good things about that restaurant. But moving on to some of the other offerings, Cabanas is on the Disney Magic. This is a buffet-style restaurant that offers a mix of American, European, Asian fares, things of that nature, very simple. You know, again, buffet-style, so you can walk up. One of the things that I really, really love about this is it has breakfast every morning, but on select days of your breakfast, you can actually stop by and get cinnamon coated Mickey waffles, and the cinnamon sugar basically coated all over the Mickey waffles, which is really, really cool.
Sounds it's awful. It
tastes disgusting. You're gonna hate it.
I was gonna say that's not even. I don't know why we're even discussing that.
Yeah, let's move on.
Sounds like Santa's cake of the day.
Yeah, seriously, and we're gonna spend at least 45 minutes talking about cake of the day, just so everybody.
everyone,
it's gonna be a 3-hour episode. No, I think it's just the reason I wanted to mention that is I really love things that are offered that are only offered like, okay, a few days. It makes you want to stop by and be like, okay, are those waffles here today? You know, and it's the same reason with cake of the day, like getting a different cake slice every day. That's exciting. But that's not the only treat that I wanted to mention. There's a few more I wanted to mention here. So lounges, bars, snacks, there's lots of those on the Disney Magic. Of course, they have Cove Cafe, an adults-only retreat that does focus on specialty coffees, teas, but it also has cocktails in the evening. You can stop by for a cocktail. The D-Lounge is a family-friendly venue, hosts interactive events for all ages. And just this past year, they added the ability to meet Bruno and Mirabelle in the D-Lounge, which was very exciting to people. The line, let me tell you, I went in to grab some photos, and the line was just crazy. So if you want to meet Mirabelle and Bruno, just be aware of that. Daisy Delights, Duck and Diner, Pinocchio's Pizzeria. These are quick service spots that you can grab on the pool deck. Always great if you're by the pool and you're just like, you know what, I want some chicken tenders or some pizza or a burger, anything like that. They do offer soft serve, of course, ice cream, frozen treats, things of that nature. And then when it comes to the lounges, they have several different theme lounges like Fathoms and Keys. Keys is great. It's a piano lounge. And oftentimes they'll offer mixology courses in, Keys. O'Gill's Club is more of an Irish themed bar. So cool little spot. And then there's also the newest lounge on this ship, and not just this ship, but really any of the Disney Cruise Line ships until Disney Treasure comes, and that's Soulcast Lounge, which opened up after a renovation back in 2023. So I was actually able to see Soulcast Lounge. It opened up 3 weeks before my cruise. It was very, very good timing. And it's very cute. It's themed after Disney Pixar Soul. And it's sort of on the path over to Rapunzel's. And it's a great spot just for like a pre or post dinner. And they offer actually, Alyssa, this is one of the treats I wanted to mention because it's not really super well known. I guess it's more of a rare, not rare, but like a hidden little gem is they offer Zeppelis, the fried dough pastries. You can buy those while you're which I know you're familiar with being up from Jersey and everything up there.
I would be all of that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's like they have like a big like Nutella and hazelnut spread. It's really delicious. So
messy, but it's supposed to be messy.
Exactly. You get it all over yourself. You look embarrassed and your wife tells you, Jared.
And then people ask you where you got it from. Back.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's a win-win. And then your wife tells you, Jared, go change your shirt. We have dinner plans. It's a great spot. So yeah, absolutely worth stopping by, and it's really cute the way it's themed. And if you really like espresso or coffee or things of that nature, they actually have a espresso machine inside of Soulcast. So something I wanted to mention as well. Room service, of course, is included on the Disney Magic in your charge. It's no additional charge. And again, cake slice of the day. But they also offer things like all hands on deck. It's an assorted cheese and fruit platter, things like that. But you can also get chicken tenders, burgers, sandwiches. I mean, it's amazing, Alyssa.
If you get home, ice cream bars, chocolate chip cookies.
Exactly. If you get home at 11 p.m. and you're like, you know what? I didn't get enough buffet, pizza, soft serve, and food at Lumiere's. I need I need 3 ice cream bars and, you know, chicken tenders. You can get it and it'll be there in probably less than 30 minutes. So.
And then remember the other thing I think I said in the last episode is, you know, you can also, and they have it in your room, you can put a thing on your door as to if you want coffee, danishes, muffins, croissants, delivered at a certain time the next morning. So I know there's a lot of people who, yes, they're going to go up and get their coffee from the pool deck, but they want it in their stateroom before they get up. That's what they can't get out of bed without their coffee. You need your coffee before you, you know, you can't do it otherwise. And they knock on the door, they bring it in with a tray, they put it down. And I think, Jared, you mentioned this too, and it's so important, is nothing's better than having your morning coffee on the veranda.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I mean, it's just nothing, maybe nothing better than a glass of wine on the veranda. Well, that's pretty
Which
good too.
I also partook in that.
Yeah, so
you know,
they're pretty neck and neck. But, you know, that morning coffee when you're like still sailing to an island, or it's a day at sea, or you've docked in an island, like you're just sitting on that veranda, you know, you have maybe the robe, one of your robes on, and it's just beautiful. And you have your cup of coffee and maybe a couple muffins. I mean, that's perfection. And that is, again, part of the service of what you're paying for. And the best part is you don't have to call in the morning and wait for it. It will be coming when you want it.
I completely agree. And, you know, one quick thing I did want to mention, because Alyssa mentioned, you know, like having a glass of wine on the veranda, something that a lot of people maybe don't pick up on, or at least some of the people that I spoke to when I was on my cruise, is Disney does allow you to bring 2 bottles of wine per guest. So my wife and I brought a few bottles of wine with us.
More than 2?
Well, look, we're not going to get into specifics. The point
is... hold on. Let's just back up for a second. So I heard Disney Cruise Line, and this is correct, allows 2 bottles of wine. And then the next sentence was, my wife and I brought a few bottles on board. Can you please clarify?
So 2 bottles per person. So she brought 2 and I brought 2.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Got it. Okay, we're on the same page.
Just so we had it, you know?
Oh, sure. Great. Right. You never know.
Yeah, you never know when you need it.
Okay.
No, but
asking for a friend.
No, but one of the things that I really enjoyed about our cruises was oftentimes before we would go see one of the Broadway shows, or when we'd go to dinner, or we'd go grab a drink, we would actually just grab one of our bottles and go sit outside and watch like the sun is setting and you're just hear the ocean. Some of my most fond memories of the cruise are just that. It's as simple as that, because the veranda really is, you know, so magical, honestly, in terms of the views and the scenes, especially once you're pulling up to those docks, or when you wake up and you go outside and, oh, there's Castaway Key. Like, it's a very cool feeling. So, you know, just something worth mentioning. But the last few things I wanted to mention about dining, because we haven't mentioned this in the last few Disney Cruise Line episodes, is some of these secondary options that you can enjoy. So, for example, primary option for breakfast every day is Cabanas, right? It has long hours. There's a wide variety, all you can eat. However, Cabanas gets pretty busy. And if you're looking more for like brunch style, obviously you can book Palo, but if you want, you can also go to one of the 3 rotational restaurants. On the Magic, typically it's Lumiere's. Lumiere's will offer brunch where you can go sit at a table and it's a full table service breakfast. They'll have a server bring you food, everything like that. This will have, you know, a more limited menu than Cabanas, but I always like mentioning this because honestly, Alyssa, I did not even realize that was a thing until like day 3 or 4 of my cruise. I was like, what are all these people doing in Lumiere's right now? Like, is there a private event? Like, and nope, it's just brunch. I thought that was cool.
And remember also, the day of debarkation, when you're leaving your cruise, you always get to have breakfast in the restaurant that you had dinner at your last evening.
Yeah, it's the saddest breakfast in the world.
It's a sad breakfast, but you know, you can either have your luggage taken the night before, or if you are taking your luggage yourself, you can actually wheel it down to the breakfast area. They'll just literally push it aside and you can go have a breakfast. They will not rush you out. I mean, you can sit there and have a decent hour and a half long breakfast. So that is also something that if, you know, you're just like, I'm not ready to leave, you know, and it's always going to be the restaurant that you were at the last night. Your last night's restaurant will always be your breakfast on your last day of the cruise.
Yeah. That way you can just sit there and cry and drink coffee. Yep. And eat Mickey waffles. And this is not based off of prior experience. I'm just saying some people.
You've heard this around.
I've heard some rumors that some people cry while eating Mickey waffles on their last day.
Exactly. Yeah. The other thing, Jared, I just want to say real quick. I know you wanted to talk about a couple of things. Something we have not discussed, I don't believe, on any of our episodes about the cruise line. And if we have, I apologize, is the shopping.
Yeah. No.
I don't want to take too much time, but I did want to mention for anybody who has not been on a Disney cruise, there is lots of great shopping on each of the Disney cruise lines. And more specifically, there is merchandise that is specific to the ship. So on the Magic, when you go into one of the shopping venues, you will be able to get Magic merchandise. You'll be able to get spirit jerseys or hats or t-shirts, you know, magnets, keychains, things like that, replicas of the ship itself. There's always going to be fine shopping as well. They have duty-free shopping you could get diamonds and Rolexes and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. That's for sure. But I don't think we ever talked about that. And I just want to say there, in addition to the ship-specific merchandise, there's also Disney Cruise Line merchandise. So you can always get just sort of overall Disney Cruise Line merchandise. Just for our listeners and viewers, just to be aware, whenever the ship is in port, all shopping ceases. All stores are closed. That's due to being duty-free. And the rule of thumb is that they will not reopen until they're 14 miles out from wherever they were parked, if you will, wherever they were stopped, whatever island or the port. Just a little couple, I just wanted to mention just a little tidbit that I don't think we mentioned before.
Yeah. And Alyssa knows that for a fact because she's usually the first one.
I stood there waiting for
us
to get 14 miles out.
You're like, how many miles? We're at 11?
I mean, I literally have like a nautical compass. And I'm like, no, we're like 12.8. We're almost there.
Yeah.
You know, Jared, we're laughing. I have been known to wait outside of a store.
I'm not joking. We're laughing, but I'm pretty positive that's real thing.
I'm keeping it real with because I feel like I need to do that. But that sounds something Alyssa would do. It's probably something Alyssa did do.
Yeah, once or twice. It's all right. It's okay. You know?
Anyway, just want to talk a little bit about the shopping because I know a couple things about that. I've even been known, I may or may not have had to buy an extra suitcase to get things home, but that is a may or may not have. I'm not sure.
May or may not have. Yes. Well, no. Another thing I did want to mention, because we haven't spent a whole lot of time on the episodes on this, is the Broadway style shows. Because the shows are spectacular, and I'm not a huge Broadway fan. I'm not a huge theater person, but I will say we stopped to see the Tangled show because that's exclusive to the Disney Magic, especially with the Tangled restaurant. You know, and they have exclusive shows to each ship, which is amazing. And I just thought it was so fantastic, the Tangled production. I mean, it literally is Broadway style, Broadway quality. Just blew my mind. So if you get a chance to see at least one of these shows while you're on board, definitely do so. But moving on to some of the pools, water slides, entertainment, and also the kids clubs, I wanted to talk next about the Aqua Dunk. As I mentioned earlier, I might have had a little bit of a scary experience on this one, but it's okay. Maybe this one's for you, just not for Jared. The point is, are you ready to drop in? Because I was not expecting that. The Aqua Dunk is a drop style water slide, and it's only found on the Disney Magic, not even its sister ship, the Disney Wonder, has one. Your adventure begins when you climb to the steps of the top of the Disney Magic's iconic red smokestack funnels. And there's a launch chamber, a 215-foot-long waterslide tube. You got to cross your arms and your legs and everything like that. And literally, they launch you. I mean, the ground opens up beneath your feet. There's nothing that can prepare you for that feeling of just the ground disappearing and there you go. But I see, Alyssa, I'm on the cruise and I look at my wife and I'm like, should we do that? She's like, I don't know. Are you going to want to do that? And I'm like, oh, I could do that. I mean, and I'm seeing all these little kids run by, 8-year-olds, 6-year-olds, just hyped up for the water slide. And so I decided to go up there and, I did it. And there was like a little boy behind me, a long line, and the cast member, was laughing apparently, because when I got let go, I just screamed, you know, holy crap, like, wait a minute. And I just couldn't believe how fast that ground opens up below you. But I will say, if you love thrills, if you love water slides, this one's for you. It's super cool that it's only on the ship. And, you know, that's, it's just unique. I mean, how many cruise lines and how many ships offer something like that? There's also a more of a kids water slide. There's splash pads for your kids. There's the Quiet Cove pool, which is for 18 and up guests. So there is an adult section over there. If you're more like me and you just want to sit in a hot tub and just not move for like 6 hours, then that's your spot. And then there are kids clubs, of course. We spoke heavily about kids clubs in the last episode, so we're not going to spend as much time in this episode, but there are kids clubs, and the kids clubs are fantastic. You know, so you can truly trust them.
You know what I mean? Know. Like, they just, and something you said, Jared, really early on in this episode, I think it's very noteworthy again, is the fact that I think sometimes, tell me if I'm wrong, there's a sort of a disillusion or an illusion of, oh, the magic and the wonder, they're so old. You know, they were the first ships. Like, look at what, you know, the dream and the fantasy and the wish and the treasure are going to do. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, it's all run down. It's like a rundown motel that like has like lights that are like, you know, sparking and stuff like that. You know, as Jared said, the one thing to keep in mind is, you know, you can't, they won't, they're not going to add to the size of the ship, but they do reimagine it and they do keep it up to date and they do make really, really smart, fun changes. So I just think it's really important. And I'm guilty of it too. You know, you're like, ah, oh, it's like the oldest ship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, come on. They imagine that how many years, you know, 26 years ago, ugh, you know, whatever. But it's not the same ship it was 26 years ago.
No, I mean, again, a lot of it had been refurbished and changed and things added to it in 2013. Things like the Tangled restaurant that wasn't originally there. Believe it or not, Tangled didn't come out in 1998, but it's a huge part of the ship. You know, you got things like the Marvel Superhero Academy, which is located in the Disney Oceaneer Club for kids 3 to 10. That wasn't always there. That's something that was added. Andy's room and the Oceaneer Lab, where it allows you to do all sorts of things. Again, we spoke about this in the last episode, and it's like, you know, kind of jealous, not going to lie, of what some of these kids
don't discount, you know, the older ships because they, you hear older, you know, they're not as big, they're not as updated. They do update them, because if they didn't, honestly, nobody would be interested in them.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody, I mean, let's be honest, right? If the magic had never been updated since 1998, it would kind of be sad.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would agree. I mean, you're not exactly, you know, jumping at the bits to go enjoy.
But when you know that it's reimagined, it also does keep people who have been on it coming back, because it's something, oh, I haven't seen that on the magic. Oh, they have a new lounge. Oh, wow, a new restaurant. You know, maybe somebody went on the magic in 1999 and they're thinking, well, I haven't seen that Tangled restaurant. My daughter loves Tangled. That's a reason to go back and check that out, even though you thought you, you know, maybe you had already done the magic and there was nothing more to see. There is more to see.
Yeah, or maybe you didn't learn until recently, having a guest on your podcast, about
this thing called the Cake of the Day, and now you're upset it's about it.
I guess reason to go on a cruise just to book it for that. So literally, there's nothing else is needed.
Yeah, no, but it's true. What Alyssa's bringing up is a really good point. I mean, it's the same reason why we keep going back to the parks, right? I mean, the parks have been constantly evolving and changing. Look at the last 5 years alone. This is a good reminder for Walt Disney World fans who are like, we need more things, because a lot of Walt Disney World people get really riled up about that. Just like to remind some people of some of the amazing things that Walt Disney World has gotten in the last 5 years alone. For example, we've gotten Galaxy's Edge, you know, we've gotten extreme expansions in Disney Springs, huge expansions in Epcot with rides like Remy's Ratatouille Adventure or rides like Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, one of the best rides in Walt Disney World and in theme parks in general. We got Tron, Light Cycle Run. There's so much that wasn't here just years ago, you know, and I think that's what makes people wanting to come back for more. My mother and some of my family are coming down in a few weeks, and I just realized, like yesterday, I was like, wait a minute, my mom, my uncle, all these people, they've never done Tron before. You know, like, it. That's because these parks keep changing. They keep evolving.
They've been coming to the parks for years.
Oh my gosh, their whole life. My mom, you know, ever since she was a kid, she was going basically once a year, and yet there's a new thing she hasn't seen yet. That's because Disney's not, they haven't stopped. They're going to keep consistently evolving and adding new things, and that's what makes it great, in my opinion. So it's a really good point what Alyssa brought up about the Disney Magic. I mean, this is not the same ship it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's evolved and it's changed a lot. They just added a new lounge last year, which serves fried dough donuts. Okay. That's all you need. No, but seriously, I don't think it's going to be the end of this ship ever getting new additions either. I mean, that's what Disney does. They're going to keep, you know, renovating and,
That was Walt's vision, though, that as long as there's imagination in the world, nothing will be complete.
No, exactly. And I think that's really important that you brought that up, Alyssa, because oftentimes we get caught up, you know, oftentimes thinking, oh, well, we need a new thing or we haven't had a new thing in a while. But, you know, 2 points. One, oftentimes Disney fans think they want something and then they get the new thing and then they're upset and they want the old thing back. And two, we actually get way more new things at Disney than almost anywhere else in the world that you can think of. The incredible work that the Imagineers do and the expansions from Disney Cruise Line to the parks is mind-blowing to me. Going back even farther than 5 years, just add a few more years, and then you got Pandora, you got Toy Story Land, you got all these additions that we never had before. So it's really an amazing time to be a Disney fan, but especially a Disney Cruise Line fan. And we hope that this episode, you know, taught you guys quite a bit more about the Disney Magic. We hope we've convinced some of you guys out there to book a cruise on the Disney Magic if you're on the fence about it. And if you do want to book a trip on the Disney Magic, of course, as we mentioned earlier, reach out to our friends over at Mickey Travels. They can help you book that vacation. Zero additional cost to you. Plan it all, book it all, especially if you're a Tangled fan. And everything in between that we spoke about when it comes to this beautiful ship. And have no fear. We have one more episode of the Disney Cruise Line series coming your way on the Disney Wonder. That's the last ship we have to speak about. Very excited to do that episode as well. But if you want to go back and listen to some of the other episodes, if you've missed some of them, we've already done episodes on the Disney Dream, the Disney Fantasy, and the Disney Wish. So definitely go check out some of those.
We've done quite a few episodes on the Disney Treasure, and we'll, of course, be doing more of those once she sets sail. And we're just going to give a little teaser. We have another fun series that's going to be starting in the very near future. And this is going to be one that I think is going to benefit every listener and every viewer from infancy to 100 years old.
Yeah. Even the 100-year-olds listening will enjoy that. And that was the idea. And that's the whole concept and idea of the Mickey Blog podcast in general. Here at Mickey Blog, we want to spread joy, but we also want to spread, you know, magic in the sense of Disney news, Disney information. We want to keep all of our listeners, viewers, readers updated as much as possible on all things Disney. But also, you know, we're trying to do it in a very positive way. And, you know, and I'm not saying that other blogs or other places don't do that. I just think that's one of the best qualities of our blog. And
we thank everybody who supports and listens and watches. And yeah. we really do. I mean, I think our numbers have really gone up with viewership. Yeah. And we thank you for that, because we're just having a lot of fun spreading the magic. That's what we're doing. And we just, if we can reach just one person or multiple people with that magic and that information and the Disney, you know, love, then it's worth it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, that's the whole idea. We're just trying to, you know, help you plan your next Disney trip, be informed in all things Disney, and spread some joy while we're doing it. You know, even if it's at the expense of myself, I'll crack a few jokes, whatever I got to do. But either way, we appreciate everybody who listened and watched this episode. If you do want to listen to more, of course, do hit that subscribe button. Or hit that subscribe button on YouTube, because every single episode is also published on YouTube in video format. So you can watch episodes too, in case you don't feel like just listening. In case you're like, you know what, I really want to see what that guy Jared looks like, head over to YouTube and you can see it in person.
Right there.
It's really not that exciting, but if you want to, go ahead. But there's also lots of more exciting content on our YouTube channel. We're constantly trying to grow that, so feel free to check out those videos. And of course, head over to MickeyBlog.com to read all the latest articles and all things Disney. We cover Disney 365 days a year, 24/7. So if you want to be informed in all things Disney, definitely head over to the blog. And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can follow us through Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, all that fun jazz, just everywhere, all of it. And we really appreciate the support as always. So we can't wait to see you guys next Friday in another edition of the Mickey Blog Podcast. Have a magical rest of your day.
Bye.